Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Folks, you know, Jazz Fest is right around the corner. You ready to go to the biggest ever Jazz Fest? Experience the music, food, and culture of Louisiana, plus great artists like Chris Stapleton, Jean Baptiste, The Killers, The Robert Cray Band, one of my favorites, Heart, Rebirth, Brass Band, and more. You can listen to Tommy Tucker, me, Scoot, and Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day. Then go to WWL.com/contest. and register to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest, plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle passes. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. In fact, we're going to be broadcasting live from out there on the first Friday, and I look forward to that as I did so last year. Had a great time with the Miller Lite folks out there. Look forward to same. Joining us now is Brian Kish, president of the Emeril Lagasse Foundation. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. Hopefully you're having a great start to your week.
Oh, absolutely. Brian, I was got to spend a weekend with you guys weekend before last at the Chi Chi Miguel Throwdown, which is a barbecue cook-off. Had a great time. Aaron Sanchez, Emeril, Tim Crehan, and then Mike Thompson and his group of amateurs participated in that throwdown. And as I watched the video of what you guys do, it occurred to me that I don't think a lot of folks really recognize nor realize the breadth and depth of the Emeril Lagasse Foundation. You guys are bigger than Louisiana. Y'all are bigger than the Florida Panhandle. Y'all are in a bunch of different states doing great work.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're really excited. We've been around since 2002, and a lot of folks don't know, but we're a public charity. But we use all those chef friends that you mentioned and winemaker friends and all of Emeril's friends from around the country, and we throw great food and wine events and very generous supporters. We then take those gifts and we transform them, investing back in the youth of our communities. Last year, over 35,000 young people that we shape their lives through inspiring, mentoring, enabling them, and we do it through culinary. So we do a lot of things, Noel, here locally. We support things like Cafe Hope, Liberty's Kitchen, Cafe Reconcile, those teaching learning cafes. We've been doing the summer feeding program with Second Harvest here since the beginning. Over 2 million meals served in the summer to those young people that need healthy, nutritious food. We put in the Culinary Garden Teaching Kitchen at NOCA. We've done the Feeding at Covenant House, Music Room at St. Michael's. But as you noted, it's just not here. We're in 14 states. You join us in the Panhandle. We had some fun. We support a couple different programs there. We're in California. We have our Culinary Garden Teaching Kitchen program helping transform young people's lives in the classroom through food and garden. And we're in D.C., Chicago, all over. But based right here in New Orleans, making a difference, making an impact. And Emeril takes it serious, and he uses all of his time and reach to make sure that these young people are taken care of. And I get the honor of delivering that through his foundation.
You know, what's kind of unique to me is he truly enjoys sharing the stage. For example, yeah. Aaron Sanchez and his program. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. A couple of years ago, Chef Aaron, you know, a lot of chefs looked at Emeril as obviously with his TV personality and what he did for food, bringing it to the masses through TV, obviously his restaurant empire. But I think chefs look at him as a leader in the chef philanthropic world as well. And Chef Aaron was already doing some great work with a scholarship program, working with Latino youth and providing them an opportunity to get some continued learning and then mentorship through a scholarship program. But he wanted to take it to the next level. And he knew that if he could join forces with us, that we could do that. So about a year and a half ago, we brought in Chef Aaron Sanchez. We brought his Impact Fund, which is uplifting the lives of Latino youth through food. Brought them in about a year and a half ago. Gave them all the resources that we have available so that they can have an impact right away. So it's one of our three programs, along with our Culinary Garden Teaching Kitchen that I mentioned, and our community grants. And we're honored to have him. He joined our board, and we're honored to help deliver that program. Right now, we have four students going to school at No Key, and they're from all over the country, but come in here, and they're doing their program. And then afterwards, they'll mentor with Aaron and Aaron chef friends, and then go out and try to change the face and the front of the shop, really, of restaurants around the country. And again, using food as a way to do that.
And Chef Aaron and his students, they were big winners at the throwdown, the Chichi Miguel throwdown. And I got to tell you about Chef Aaron, which is very interesting. You know, at one point in time of the auction that evening, as it, that really is the culmination of the entire weekend of fundraising, there's this opportunity that you have for people to give money directly to Aaron Sanchez's fund.
Yeah.
After the event, I went up to him and I congratulated him on the big win with the ribs and the whole nine yards. And I got to talk to him earlier in the day, as well as the kids, and just had a great time doing so. And he already knew everyone in that room that had donated to him. And he thanked me for my donation. I was kind of blown away by it. But he is so connected to what he does. He's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, he is. I think that's the thing about Chef Aaron and Emeril. And this isn't to slight other, you know, celebrities that have charities. But what they do is real and sincere. You'll see them at events and how emotional and how meaningful this is to them. Every year when we have our event here in New Orleans, our Carnival's event, we always have St. Michael's. Which is a great special school. They have a choir that always comes in and sings. And every time you see Emeril tear up, you see Aaron with pure, real pride when he sees these students graduate. And so this is real to them. It's meaningful to them. And they're grateful to those that make the investments. They know that when folks like yourself take your hard-earned dollars and choose to give it to another nonprofit and supporting kids you may never meet. You know, you got to meet those kids, which is great, but you may never do that. That's a real gift. That's a present, right? And so they cherish that, they respect that. And that's what we do as staff members. You know, we have a professional staff and team that takes this as real serious business because we know there's young people's lives that are counting on it. And look, we have a lot of fun doing it, right? You were at the event.
Absolutely.
And Newell, now let's make sure your viewers, you know, don't miss this. You all won an award, your team as well. Newell was cooking as part of a team, and they got the best side dish. I call it a Cajun paella. In other
Absolutely.
Words, a jambalaya.
And,
but,
I want you to know that we wore those medals proud the remainder of the weekend there. And actually had someone come up to me and said, were you the winner of that big golf tournament that was in town?
Well, you know, and it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, you competed against Emeril Lagasse, Aaron Sanchez, Kim Crean, who has a fabulous restaurant down in that area. I mean, you're going to get
Cuvée 38, absolutely.
Yeah, and you guys are kind of the only amateur team. And you guys did it, and well deserved. It was delicious. I know you guys hand peeled all the fish and the shrimp.
The true brains behind it were my friends from down the bayou, the PB&N candies. They're the ones that really pulled that together. I just took orders and did what they told me to do. There was a time that night, Saturday night, very touching. Mike Thompson, a winemaker in Sonoma. Mm. Somebody that I've grown to know well. In fact, year before last, he rode with us in the crew of Orpheus on our float, and we had a wonderful time with he and his wife, Valerie. About early on, many, many years ago, I think going back to 2014, they touched a young lady's life, and she was there that evening. And I got to tell you, when that story was told, there was not a dry eye in the place. I'm sure you remember it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the organizations that we support in that panhandle area in South Walton and Okaloosa County is an organization called Emerald Coast Children's Advocacy Center. And they're a place where it's a one-stop area where they can bring in young people that are experiencing abuse and real, real sad situations. They can bring their families in, but it's a safe place. So a lot of times these young people don't want to talk about what's happening to them because they're at a police station. That's where a lot of these debriefs happen. Well, this amazing organization has created a space where it's comfortable. It's a place where young people can feel okay to talk. They have counselors, they have the space. And then they actually have folks from the judicial system as well. I'm sure, you know, back in your day, you saw a lot of this as well. And they would have those people there as well, sometimes on the other side of a double-sided mirror with letting the parents know, obviously. So it can happen all in one place so that these young people can begin the healing and then they can come back. And there was a young lady there that when she was a young, young girl, she experienced this. She went to that center. She stayed connected. She received the services. And now is at Florida State. She's a junior and is really engaged and wants to get involved in nonprofits and give back. But that's the work that we do every day in the nonprofit partners that we work with. It's literally changing lives. And I think people forget that sometimes when we make that gift, that you really are people on that other end. You know, I always talk about philanthropy. It's broken down into philos, anthropos, which means love of humankind. And that's what philanthropy and charity is about. And that's why I love being a part of it. And that's why we're so grateful to folks like you and all your listeners that support nonprofits. There are real lives on the other end. And when we can show them to you, I think we need to, so you understand that, so that it can continue to flourish with charity and nonprofits. It's amazing the generosity of people out there. In the United States, we're almost at, last year, I think it was over $400 billion given away to nonprofits and charities. And I think it's one of the things that makes this country great.
We're visiting with Brian Kish, president of the Emeril Lagasse Foundation. Carnival de Venn this year celebrates 20 years, correct?
Unbelievable. Yeah, 20 years. Year one was supposed to be the year that Katrina happened, and luckily we had some great board members in Las Vegas, and we hosted in Las Vegas, and ever since then we've been back here in New Orleans. It's an annual celebration of wine and food. We bring in some of the best chefs in the world. You name them. We've had Jose Andres, Eric Rivera, Thomas Keller, you know, every big time chef. We've had Guy Fieri. They'll come and lend their talents and their skills and cook for our guests. We'll bring in 8 different vintners from around the country to pour their fine wines. And we do it again by raising money for young people. And all those dollars we can then turn around and invest back in our communities. We put over $20 million back into our communities, youth-based initiatives, and a lot more coming. But we can do it through these events. And I'll tell you, Newell, and you mentioned the Thompsons, and there's so many others. I'll tell you, maybe the most generous people I've met are vintners, winemakers. They donate all of their wine to us for charity auction or to pour for our guests. So we don't have to have that cost. So those savings, we can translate into making a difference. So it's a beautiful audience. It's a great time. It's November 14th through the 16th. We start with a special dinner at Emerald's Restaurant at Merrill. Then we go and see our beneficiaries. We always make sure our donors, investors get to see those young people that make a difference. And then we're going to have a little fun thing Friday night, maybe in one of Emerald's new restaurants. Still
maybe.
To come. a little hint out there, folks. They have a new restaurant, 34. It's going to be a Spanish-Portuguese place, and we're going to do something special there one night. And then we have that big gala. And again, you know, we go to all these galas, and a lot of us get invited to these things. But this one's truly special. It's people from around the country come in, and we'll have about 350 special guests there, and we eat well and we drink well. And here's my favorite thing about it is NOCA, the students, the culinary program at NOCA that we help start and fund their kitchen, they create the menu. And then chefs have to execute an Emeralds Culinary Team and the great chefs at Windsor Court are the team that deliver the meal. The appetizers and the receptions done by these star chefs, you get to meet them and interact with them. But then the menu is created by high school kids, seating these Michelin star chefs that are then going to sit down and eat too. So it's a really, really neat thing that we do.
Yeah, if you really want to experience a different type of fundraising experience, Carnaval du Vin is the one to attend. It's a three-day event. I mean, it's just more and more and more, but it's a lot of fun. I've been several times myself. I've had a blast each and every time. Still drink some wines that were presented at early onset years of Carnaval du Vin to this day that I was exposed to that I've never seen anywhere else. Boutique wineries, you know, and had to wait a couple of years to get on the wait list, but it was well worth it. And, you know, and able to still order those wines. Congratulations, Brian, to you. Your team is absolutely incredible. I mean, the young lady and young men that work for the Emeril Lagasse Foundation truly believe in what they do. They really make it happen. You're very fortunate to have a lot of great people surround yourself. And congratulations on Chichi Miguel. I think y'all raised right at $1 million that night.
Yeah, about $1 million. Isn't that great, you know, with food and wine and paella. It's a great way to do it. And, you know, thank you so much for allowing me to be on the show, to share the joy and the work that we do, the impact that we do. Folks can go to emeril.org, www.emeril.org, to learn more. And we look forward to being here for another 20, 25 years and making a difference for a long, long time. We're honored to do it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Brian Kish, President, Emeril Lagasse Foundation. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay tuned. We're going to be giving out that code word for the Jazz Fest tickets coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Folks, are you ready to go to the party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is Cajun. That's C-A-J-U-N, Cajun. Now go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, me, Scooter, Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day to see amazing artists like Chris Stapleton, Jean Baptiste, The Killers, The Robert Cray Band, Heart, Rebirth, Brass Band, and more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Folks, there was a letter to the editor opinion piece that was filed by Governor Jeff Landry. He says that recently many have misconstrued his comments in the media regarding the importance of respecting and recognizing our national anthem. It's interesting, any time that an individual has to do a letter to the editor explaining something that they said before, it's probably should be characterized as a recognition and an admission that it did not go well the first time around, right? You think just maybe that's what ultimately happened? The winds have shifted maybe, and they feel compelled to explain what they said in a different way, which typically means that there was a breakdown in emotional intelligence, right? Today with the social media, you respond to things, bingo, bam, right off the bat, not thinking about what it is that you're actually saying, trying to fit it in a confined space. Maybe you're rushing between hither and yonder. Some people I know have been under the influence of something and they're out there responding and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I don't mean to imply that that's the case with the governor, but there's no question that what he said and how he said it, he sacrificed the flagship university of this state trying to get a point across, which was pretty simple, quite frankly. And, you know, it's what's interesting and what's even compelling is that had he provided these comments as he did explaining the original comments, had this come first, there would be no need for any explanation, right? Because you would have conducted your due diligence. You would have taken a deep breath. You would have thought about what your feelings truly are and what it is that you want to advocate for. You would have provided the reason behind the position that you're taking. You certainly wouldn't have jumped to the elimination of scholarships or the taking away of scholarships or the blame being placed on certain things and conjecture about other issues. None of that would have happened, which didn't happen in his letter to the editor, his opinion piece. He comes right out in the second paragraph, right off the bat, says, first, Americans should respect our flag. I don't think many folks in society today are going to find that controversial. Some will. You know, I mean, Americans should do a whole host of things, right? Some that they're legally required to do, quite frankly, and they don't. I mean, not only should we respect our flag, maybe we should respect one another as well. Like, let's just state the obvious. There's a whole lot of things that Americans should do, but they don't always do, right? But there's an appropriate way of articulating these things, which obviously there's been a lot of pushback. There's been a series of articles reported in The Advocate and NOLA.com about comments being made by certain individuals that felt like that they were slighted or they were disrespected by the governor and what he had to say. I don't think that they misconstrued his comments. I think they understood exactly what they were. They just weren't well thought out. And had that thought process been in place then, as it obviously was now, there would have been no controversy. There probably would not have been an interview on Fox National News. There wouldn't have been a whole lot of things that would have flowed from these comments. Or if you just had authored letters to those individuals that were in a decision-making authority or position to actually affect change as to when the national anthem is actually played immediately before a sporting event, it might have been more meaningful. In fact, the reaction probably would have been more accepting. The reaction might have led to the outcome that one desires in a more immediate fashion, just possibly, without having to be brandishing about all kinds of superlatives about where we want to be. The governor says that at no time was it his intent to suggest that Coach Mulkey or LSU's players were less than patriotic because they weren't on the court while the national anthem is played. I've talked to at least 50 people about this. There's no one that left that reading and interpreted the words of the governor that wasn't what the intent was. No one. Not a single person. And that's why the impetus for this letter to the editor. I mean, I don't know what it is that we're trying to sell this time. I mean, it's a little crazy. You could have left that paragraph out because nobody believes it. He goes on to say that we should never have a situation where one team is on the field or the court for the national anthem and the other is not. Either both teams should be on hand or neither should be. Otherwise, it will be interpreted by many observers exactly as this was, that the team not on hand isn't patriotic. That is exactly what you did, including you. You just gave it up. You gave up what you were thinking. So let's be honest. That is what stimulated all of this on social media, and that's what everyone, including yourself, responded to. Really? And I don't know that you're going to convince anybody otherwise that wasn't, in fact, the case. Understand that the winds may not be blowing in one's favor. And all of what you explained following these statements are really spot on. The history of when this came about and everything else. And I agree wholeheartedly with the governor where we ought to modify whatever the pregame protocol or series of events, that the last thing before we play ball is the national anthem. And that way we can do away with all the conjecture. We don't need to deal with all of these issues. It's kind of like the way they do it in baseball. You go to a professional basketball game, that's what it's done there. You go to any number of situations, that's how it is actually handled. And maybe we should just not have to kowtow to the way that the media decides that they want to have this happen. Because it occurs to me that they are really the driving force in a lot of this issue. It's just, we don't kowtow to them. Let us adopt what the protocols are going to be. And they can take it or leave it, like it or lump it. It doesn't matter. But we want the opportunity to express our respect for not only the flag, this country, for each other. For the celebration, for the privileges, for the rights that so many people have given their lives and made incredible sacrifices for. I would be less than if I didn't thank the governor for his service to this country. I think the world of those that did. It's one of the few regrets in my life, and didn't even have to register to serve in the military. I wish I would have. To this day, don't know why I did not, quite frankly. I did so in other ways, but I still believe it would have been important to serve. So maybe we can put this behind us as a lesson learned. That we take a deep breath. We grab hold of our emotions. We think about those that we know, that we trust, and that we should be giving the benefit of the doubt. We should maybe give them a phone call. We should maybe send them a text. Hey, what's up? You know, where are we going with this? Why did this happen? Just kind of wanted to get your feel because I would like to stimulate some things to happen in this regard. I think it's important. I think it's meaningful. I think we'll be better then if we do so. And it may just be a misunderstanding. It could be possibly anything. But before we start beating up on ourselves, let's have a conversation. We don't need to react to folks that decide that they want to react on social media. You don't see me doing it, I can promise you, because I am adamantly opposed to that. The immediacy of responding to certain things, I'd rather absorb it, look at it, see what is happening, why, look at the other side, put myself in their shoes, gain a better understanding of all of this before we start trying to wreck individuals' lives in many respects about engaging in conjecture about why they've done certain things in certain ways. No one's perfect. We make mistakes. But had that been done, we would have gained a better understanding of why things were the way they were. We would have understood that not only were we addressing the flagship university, it was every university in the state of Louisiana and many universities across this country, where there are times where the national anthem is conducted that they have little or no say-so over, that many folks were not on the field to play during that period of time. And we don't have to further explain. Having been there myself as an elected official, you never want to have to go back and explain what you meant the first time you put yourself before the public. Would love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. We are having technical difficulties, so we're not going to go to break, and that's okay. But if you want to give us a call, 504-260-1870, be happy to get you online. Tax day today, April 15th. Interesting, you know, obviously a lot going on. There are those that are trying to lobby the Senate to take up House Resolution 7024. You're not going to believe this. Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act. Well, guess who they wanted to apply to? You got it. Illegal aliens. They want the proposed expansion of the ACTC in House Resolution 7024. That means even more tax dollars to be used to support illegal aliens. First, it would increase the maximum amount of a parent may claim per qualifying child from 16 to 1800. Not a bad thing. That increase would be implemented retroactively. It would also increase the ACTC in future years, raising it to 1900 and 1000 respectively in years 2024 and 2025. But it would also be available to those that are not citizens of this country. We ask why. Why are we doing this? In light of the fact that there's so many other costs that we're having for the fact of that. In fact, illegal aliens in Florida are costing $566 million in additional health care costs according to those responsible for administering Florida's Medicaid program. The licensures of state health care facilities and the sharing of health care data has revealed that they're spending over $500 million a year in providing health care for these individuals. And the situation goes on and on and on. It continues on and on and on as to what expenses that we're having to provide for these individuals. I simply talk about, we do a pretty crappy job in taking care of those who are actually citizens here, who live below the federally identified poverty level, well over 40 million people in this country that do so. And yet it seems as though we are providing at a more accelerated pace benefits to those who are not citizens. And you simply ask the question, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we not involved in a more intrusive look at what is actually happening here in this country? And it doesn't mean you're anti-immigration. It just means there needs to be an ordered and structured way in the way that we go about doing this. We certainly should have a desire to minimize the cost, right? We had that same desire in minimizing the cost as it relates to citizens. why would it not be the same mindset for others? I continue to be mystified by all of this, and I'm continuing to be mystified by why we're not asking of our political leaders some of the most obvious questions to be asked. We're dealing with any number of contentious issues here domestically as it relates to social programs, the funding of SANE, and yet we're in this major giveaway mentality as it relates to a sector of this population who's otherwise here illegally. And it's as if and though we want to apologize or feel compelled to apologize if we really want to know what our citizen privilege may be or what it may not be. And what it may not be is becoming more apparent than what it should be or is. And I think that's a dilemma that is causing a lot of frustration in our society today. And I don't know about you, but I simply, why are we doing this? Why should we apologize for not wanting to involve ourselves in economic credentialing, allowing those in that makes sense for us? What are our workforce needs? What are our labor needs in this country? Why would we not want to align our needs to those that we're letting in? Why would we not want to align our needs to preferences given? Why should we apologize that we want to do things in the best interests of the country as a whole? Why would we also want to apologize about being worried about Homeland Security? How many congressional hearings that we had to hear about that domestic terrorism was a problem in this country? It seems to be that it's only a problem when we desire it to be a problem for whatever the political discourse is of the day. All right, we're going to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, don't forget that today's password to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest is Cajun. So you can just go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It is that easy, and you're also going to get a chance to win, plus these Jazz Fest tickets, round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle Passes. And these are from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. You may have heard over the weekend that Israel is being asked by Joe Biden to refrain from retaliating against the biggest aerial attack on their country by a hostile state in 30 years. Over 300 attack drones, long-range ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles were launched as a result of the Iron Dome and a number of other anti-aircraft measures, both by the U.S., by Israel, and other parties, not all of whom have been identified by Israel at this point in time. They were able to knock out that air attack. A little bit greater than 90% of them were eliminated midair. President Biden has downplayed, according to the New York Post, the Iranian attack comprising of these hundreds of missiles and drones, telling Prime Minister Netanyahu that nothing of value was hit in Iran's airborne attack Saturday, and asserted that American forces will not be participating in any offensive against Iran. Now, you know, it's kind of simplistic to look at this in a vacuum, right? So Iran, we know, are behind a lot of what's going on with Hezbollah, a lot of what's going on with Hamas, a lot has gone on with Fatah, right? These are all organizations that are anti-Israel. They also know that they finance the Houthis in Yemen, that they know that they have created havoc out there and have attacked, by the way, U.S. naval ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran just boarded a container ship out there as well and took control of that because they believe that to be the Israelis that are actually operating that. The list goes on and on and on. So we look at this in a vacuum and say, oh, we don't want to retaliate against Iran. It's going to be interesting to see where this ends up. I'm not so sure that that's the message that we want to be sending in the immediate aftermath of these rockets being fired. What say you? We will be right back after top of the news break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.